He asked to come back for a third time, a record for us. He's a multiple Juno and East Coast Music nominee and award winner, plus a member of the Order of Canada. We're talking about none other than Lenny Gallant, a more prolific composer and compelling storyteller through song you'll never find. There's nothing arm's length about Lenny's work. It is the very heart and soul of Atlantic Canada. I'm Paul Kellogg with Lenny Gallant in the next edition of the Blue Nose Opera House radio show. This is the Blue Nose Opera House, Lenny Gallant, and we're honored, pleased. It's a pleasure, whatever we can say about having you here. And I know that it's a bit of a hook for you because you've been so busy and you're on your way this very day to Yarmouth, so you're stopping by for recording the show. But I know you're not going to like this, Lenny, but here we go. We're going to do Stump the Chump. I'm the chump. So if there's anything you can tell me about this particular song, the singer, the songwriter, the name of the song, and where it comes from.
I know this piece. I've heard this.
I know that when you look at me, there's so much that you just don't see.
For 10 cents.
It's not the wind beneath my wings or something.
You would only take the time. I know in my heart you.
Okay, for a dollar.
Oh, a girl is scared sometimes, who isn't always strong. Can't you see the hurt in me? I feel so all alone. I want to run to you.
Do I hear $10?
I know the song. I've heard it many times, but I don't know what the title is.
Hint.
Won't you hold me?
She's related to Dionne Warwick.
But if I come to you,
you're cruel, Paul.
Tell me, will you stay? Or will you?
Is it
gospel singer mother named Sissy?
Whitney Houston?
Yes.
Each day I play the role of someone.
Hollywood.
I come home and turn the key. There's nobody there. No one cares for me. Oh, what's the sense of trying hard to find your dreams without someone to share it with? Tell me what does it mean?
Why didn't you play the Dolly Parton one? You know, I will always love it.
It's from the movies.
The Bodyguard. The Bodyguard.
You got it.
What do I win? Like 10 cents now?
No.
How many hints was that?
We're up to 100 bucks now.
But if I come to you.
The name of the song is...
Run away with me. Let me guess. I don't know. I don't know the title of this song. Jeez. Yeah, I will always love you or something.
I need to wipe away my tears, to kiss away my fears. No, if you only know how much I wanna run to you.
To 100 bucks.
Won't you hold me in your arms and keep me safe from harm? I'll run to you.
And he's saying, I'm never going to do this show again.
Tell me, will you stay?
We'll take it up to $1,000.
Oh, you're still looking for the title. It's got to be Run Away With You. That's got to be.
We're going to give you a second chance with another tune. And you almost had it. You're probably thinking Bobby V.
You're going to do this to
Run
me.
To Him. It was called Run to You. She was singing that to you about 100 times, but that's okay. So if you have any idea about this next number, the orchestra.
I'll hear that old piano from down the avenue.
As I sip my coffee, Lenny.
Coffee. I smell the onions. I look around for you. My sweet old someone coming through that door.
I think we're up to $10,000.
It's Saturday and the band is playing. Honey, could we ask for more?
You know what, Dave? He's just playing hard to get. He's waiting for us to go to 100,000.
Yes, once again, it's time for the Coffee Club Orchestra with Rob Fisher at the keyboard, coming to you live from the Hotel Seymour and the beautiful Starlight Ballroom overlooking dazzling Midtown Manhattan. Brought to you by your friends at the Café Burf.
Café Burf.
The home of the elegant Burf Dinner for Two. And, of course, by Fisher's Coffee, made from coffee beans raised in Brooklyn. That's kept Norwegian
coffee
fishermen
beans raised
awake
in Brooklyn.
For more than 20
years. That sounds appetizing.
Way out in New York City, the buildings touch the sky. I don't know anybody low or high. I'm just a lonesome stranger whose luck is running thin. I'm awful tall and I feel I'm falling. Honey, won't you take me in?
For $100,000, he gave it to you, Rob Fisher, the Coffee Club Orchestra. And that actually was written by Spencer Williams in 1917. The song is called Tisho Mingo Blues. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Yes, but I must have been listening to that as a teenager.
That reminds me of a joke that they were pulling on you, the ECMAs a year ago, but we won't talk about that. Garrison Keillor, who wrote the dialogue and the send-up about coffee beans grown in Brooklyn and keeping Norwegian sailors awake for 27 years. Okay, well, I'm really sorry about the money. We had the check all written and the ink was still wet, but hey, we have to move along.
Next time, I want to show you my record collection. Next time you choose something from there, if you don't mind.
Highlights in your life, in your career, included Winter Olympics 2010, Canada Day in Trafalgar Square in London. You were describing that last time. In fact, the first show we did. What a moment for you, representing your country, representing Atlantic Canada, representing PEI.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a beautiful day. It was a sea of white and red out there. It was pretty cool.
When you're performing, whether it was at the Pearl or at a major event like Canada Day, is there a way for you, or do you have to handle it differently in feeling out the audience, getting response from the audience?
You're always trying to gauge what the audience is feeling and how you're interacting with them, I think, in a concert. Most of my concerts, I'll go out with a set list, but the band well knows that it could deviate at any minute, you know, if I feel like, oh, no, this is, I don't want to go to this song. I want to take it somewhere else. They're ready at the drop of a hat, you know, to follow me.
We have another song coming up by you, Lenny, and you are working really hard introducing your own music. I know it's tough. Amelia. And, of course, Earhart's the inspiration.
This is another song from the live album, Live Acoustic at the Carlton. And this song came out of collaboration. I've been doing a bit of songwriting down in Nashville. One day I got together with Liam Titcomb, Brent Titcomb's son. He's a fabulous songwriter, singer, and we were trying to think of what to write about. It just so happened that at that particular time, they were launching yet another expedition to try to find the wreckage of Amelia Earhart out in the Pacific, and I had heard about it, and I was commenting, They've spent millions and millions of dollars trying to locate her, her remains and the remains of her plane and wreckage. And she was such an inspiration to so many people that she was alive. It's been, and, you know, advocate of women's rights at that time, which wasn't necessarily an easy thing to do. But I thought it was, you know, it's interesting. They've almost turned it into an industry. Let's find Amelia Earhart. But I hope they never do find her. I hope she always remains a mystery and that they never do locate her. And so we wrote this song about just bouncing off of that little news item that had happened that day. And this is called Amelia.
It's always on my mind. When the wind blows off the ocean, I can see your eyes and clouds through your hair. All of us below, waiting with a hero's welcome on the radio. I heard someone say a prayer. Amelia, like a star lost in a constellation, I thought I saw your wings against the sky. Amelia, you don't need a destination. Like a song heard on the wind, you'll always fly. I wanna write this down. I can't find the words I'm needing to give a true account. Maybe let them know. Some nights I hear distant drone of a single engine. How can we ever let you go? Amelia, like a star lost in a constellation, I thought I saw your wings against the sky. Amelia, you don't need a destination. Like a song heard on the wind, constellation. I thought I saw your wings against the sky. A media, you don't need a destination. Like a song heard on the wind, you'll always fly. You'll always fly. A song heard on the wind. Media, media. Like a song heard on the wind. Media, a media.
Lenny Gallant's Amelia, that's a great story, too. You've got the last word.
We salute the stations that carry us because they still believe in serving the public the way broadcasting was originally meant to do.
Yep.
They're Canada's community stations, not computerized, boring commercial jukeboxes.
No.
They are heard from forests to farmers' fields, homes, stores, cars, and trucks going down the road, even the fishing boats, and they all have another thing in common. Carrying the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Lenny Gallant, Blue Nose Opera House. If I were to say the name to you of one of the great ukulele players of North America, it would be James Hill. His partner, I think now based out of Truro, is named Anne Janelle. She is a performance cellist, I believe. And I didn't realize it, but all of a sudden I got two emails of her work and then CDs sent to me. And this is a song from one of them, and I think she is incredibly talented. This has sort of a retro feel, and she wrote it. She wrote all the music on her two albums. This is called Candy Store.
I'm on your way home from school. I look like a normal house, but don't be fooled by the red brick or the planter on the stoop. Look straight at the lit up sign and you'll see exactly who I am. That's right, your corner candy store. You've been a good little boy today, so you deserve a treat now right away. Don't you want something for your aching sweet tooth? In neat plastic bin is something so delicious. Your invitation in here, your corner candy store. That's right, I can see a lick in your lips. Step right up, let me show you the bliss. I've got licorice and chocolate galore. Why don't you have a bit more? To get you feeling real good, why not something to drink, get it into you. I've got colas, all colors and flavors and sizes too. You say you want extra cake, grab a drumstick or an ice cream sandwich. All kinds at the corner candy store. For goodness sake, I wouldn't dream of taking candy from a babe. Just wait a short while and you'll hunger for some more of the fine white devil. I'm here, your corner candy store. Always here for you, your corner candy store. Your corner candy store. Your corner candy store.
That's fabulous. She's wonderful.
And Janelle, Candy Store, it's called. And I started immediately thinking, because of you, of Victoria by the Sea. That's an amazing candy store right near the theater.
A good friend of mine owns it.
Here we go.
The Chocolate Factory. She used to do a little accounting for me. She's fabulous. Linda Gilbert.
Oh, I was going to say she's not a Galant, is she?
No.
Okay.
But man, the chocolates there. You want to check them out.
Oh, I have. In fact, I brought you some. And left it with you after the concert when we had a bite in Charlottetown.
That's right.
Confederation Center.
First class.
I was worried about them melting. Lenny, you've done so many different venues. Do you have a favored one, whether it's a concert hall, a club, an auditorium, or a festival?
I'd have to say that I always like to think that the church in Rustico, where I do my annual Rendezvous Rustico concert, was my favorite venue, because it's so much fun. I get a lot of family there. I get family members up. As you mentioned earlier, I have a lot of nephews now and niece that are all participating in music. I get them up in the show, and we have a great time. It's always packed. However, I gotta say that the St. James Church here in Lunenburg, where we did the show with the symphony, Nova Scotia, that it was amazing. The sound of the symphony that night, it was like it went right up into the very rafters, into the wood of the church, and came back. And I know for me and the band, it was almost another worldly experience. And I've heard the same from many people who were at that concert that night. There was something truly special happening, and it's certainly probably the most musically satisfying experience of my life. So I'd have to say that was certainly one of the top venues, if not the top venue.
You mentioned that in your concert, and that was a highlight. And I remember Tom Gallant coming downstairs, shaking his head after he was in the balcony, and he said, boy, the sound was amazing, and he wished that it had been recorded. But it's interesting how things become kind of a milestone in your life that you think back to think, wow, that was quite a moment. But you also seem to be the sort of person who, in your writing, which is so varied, so prolific, that you're always pushing the envelope. You're always looking for a new idea.
I think you have to as an artist. You know, you always want to keep moving, try new things. It was pretty scary, the idea of doing this show, Searching for Abigail. I remember last spring at this time, I was lying in my bed thinking, I'm out of my mind. Usually I do 3 or 4 shows in Prince Edward Island in the summer. Now here I'm doing 50 plus. You know, I was so worried people weren't going to come, but...
They were sold out.
It was sold out all summer. And so now I'm going through the same thing again because we're running it this summer, and I'm thinking, what if everyone who wants to see it has seen it? But I think we're going to have a great time. We're doing, actually, and I should mention, we're doing it this summer in a fabulous space, the PEI Brewing Company. They have a space. They've been holding all kinds of concerts there and have had everyone from Billy Bragg to local entertainers there. And we're turning it into a beautiful theater, a lot of wood involved. And it's going to be I'm really looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be a real step up.
We're going to talk about that more in a couple of minutes. You told a wonderful story about Gene McClellan, songwriter, PEI, and you brought in a song by Catherine, which is?
Well, her album, The Raven Sun, is a fabulous album. It won a Juno this year, and she's certainly the apple did not fall far from the tree. I think, you know, where Catherine's involved, and her and Chris Gauthier, he's a fabulous guitar player and good friends of mine. And I can't say enough about these two.
I got my work all done. Now I can run with the raven sun. Spend all my days, watch the river run to the sea, to the sea. And somehow I fell for you. You know my heart is just a faithless fool. You're so good, but it can't be true. You gotta love of your own. I can't ask to be forgiven anymore. It's time to even the score. I always wanted more than I had. You know more of me than anyone can see. Well, it's time for me to leave. Find a love of my own. I cleaned up my act, took the piles of bills and I paid the tax. Let the rain roll down my back, wash away all my sins. But you don't call these days. It's just as well, cause I am on my way to where my open heart can safely lay among the reeds and the rushes. Well, I can't ask to be forgiven anymore. It's time to even the score. I always wanted more than I had. You know more. Well, it's time for me to leave, find a love of my own. Yes, I got my work. Now I can run with the raven sun. Spend all my days, watch the river run to the sea, to the sea.
Great song from Catherine McClellan. Lenny.
I love PEI, but there's another island also filled with fantastic spirit and great traditions. It's called Cape Breton. That's where you'll find award-winning The Coast Radio, headed by Bill McNeil, beloved by those in Southeast Cape Breton. Capers also try to catch us on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, Lenny Gallant, how do you like flying by the seat of your pants?
On this show, you better like it.
Yeah, we're so dictatorial here. Listen, I brought in a tune. It's kind of fun. I don't want you to ask me to dance, but it's by the Doobie Brothers. It's called Without You. You should watch that guy going nuts in the other studio, Dave. It just loves the Doobie Brothers and Without You. I did you an injustice, aside from burning the bacon and not offering coffee or tea, but I was sending out this promo, weekly promo, and wanted to highlight the fact that we're not only playing your music on last week's show, but that you were appearing at the Pearl at the end of the past week.
Right.
And 2 a.m, I'm typing away as fast as I can be so I can head off to bed. And I type L-E-N-N-Y.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You going to let me off that hook?
L-E-N-Y. I get that a lot, you know, people spelling my name with a Y at the end. And even so much to the fact that when I was younger, I actually tried to change it to a Y. But it just never looked right to me because it's always been an I, L-E-N-N-I-E, when I was younger. Of course, my formal name is Leonard. But I'll tell you a funny story, though. I was doing a show out in Vancouver one time, and after the sound check, was going back to the hotel to get, you know, have a shower and get something to eat. And I went outside, and I looked at the marquee, and there it was L-E-N-N-Y-G-A-L-L-A-A-N-T on tonight. You know, and so I went back in, and I said to the guy, the stage manager handling things, I said, listen, it's not a big deal. It happens all the time. But my name is spelled with an I-E. I just looking at the marquee and my name is spelled with an I-E. And he said, oh my God, he says, I'm so sorry. He says, I'll take care of that. Don't worry. I said, thanks. That'd be great. I really appreciate it. So I went home, went back to the hotel, had a shower, something to eat. And I came back to the show that night and I looked up at the marquee and I went, oh, jeez. It was L-E-N-N-Y-G-A-L-L-I-E-N-T. Sometimes you just got to leave well enough alone.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Wendy wasn't there, Gilmore or Lynn Horan. They would have straightened them out in New York second.
Speaking of Wendy, we want to send Wendy all our prayers and wishes because she's going through a bout with cancer right now and recovering from a serious operation. So we hope she's doing great.
Absolutely. You know, saw her at your concert on Saturday night. She looked terrific.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that that everything's going to turn out just fine. When I put you on the spot with Stump the Chump, John Dunsworth was in here, and we played the theme, Michael Nyman, I believe, the theme from The Piano, which they've also lifted and put into a TV show. And he kept saying, I know it, I know it, I know it. He, I don't watch much TV, but that's that British show called Mumberley Manor.
I don't know it.
Mumberley Manor.
Mumberley
Manor.
Which is
Downton Abbey.
I don't have a TV. I don't watch enough TV.
Yeah, okay. You have, were telling me last time, telling us that you have a number of people cover your songs, Delvina Bernard and Misha Brugger-Gosman.
Delvina, yeah. And
Jimmy Buffett, yeah. Ashlyn. And that it didn't offend you to have somebody else do a different version. It kind of intrigued you as to how they interpreted your music.
Oh, my God. I love it when people take my songs and turn them around. All of those people you mentioned did you know, versions that gave me the chills. You know, it was great. Delvina Bernard doing Which Way Does the River Run? I love that. I thought that was fabulous.
When you were a kid and you had Matt Minglewood come to your school, and then years later, and you looked up to him, years later, your career is on the ascent and still is. And you get to work with somebody like that, and they turn around and they not only respect you, but they look up to you. Is that a funny feeling?
I don't know if I call it funny, but it certainly means a lot. Matt's such a great dude and a Canadian icon, you know, musically speaking. It certainly... It was a thrill for me when he wanted to record one of my songs, and to the point that, you know, I said, well, that's your song. I never did record it. I may someday at this point, but I got the I've sung it with Matt a number of times, which is also a lot of fun. He's such a fabulous guy and a great entertainer.
You're either romantic or you like to deal in fantasies, because you wrote a song called, don't get nervous when I say that, we're not talking about 50 Shades of Grey here. You don't know how beautiful you are. Was that written for somebody? It's a bit like people keep asking Carly Simon about You're So Vain. But was it written specifically for someone or a dream or a fantasy of yours?
It's sometimes hard to pin songs down. I think there was probably a little bit of my daughter in there, my 11-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. At the time, She was about, I think, 7 years old. But interestingly enough, I started writing the song, and then I ended up finishing it with Gordy Sampson down in Nashville. And he has a daughter around the same age. They play together on occasion. They became pretty good friends. And so you never know. Maybe there's a little bit of both of those kids in there.
Stars don't know how radiant they look from here tonight. The moon don't know how many lovers kiss under its light. The red rose doesn't know how swiftly it could steal a heart. You know how beautiful you are. A church bell doesn't realize the power of its call. The diamond doesn't understand the meaning of it all. The love song doesn't know that it couldn't make you fall so hard.
Behind the scenes secret of this program is that our artist, if it's a musician, chooses their half of the music. But once in a while, I'll sneak something in, and that happens to be one of my favorites by Lenny Gallant. You don't know how beautiful you are.
One of the most exciting things that ever happened in this tech-heavy, fast-moving world is internet radio. One of the great information and entertainment hubs emerging covering Atlantic Canada, conceived by Michael Trenholm when he created the East Coast Kitchen Party, now broadcast around the world and hearing from listeners in 38 countries. Mm-hmm. That's why our byline says, the world is listening, because East Coast Kitchen Party is where you'll catch the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
I didn't know this till he was here. A prolific writer, novelist, and researcher, Silver Donald Cameron, got his nickname from Tom Gallant. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Because Donald Cameron's a common name. So you're often, people give you a nickname related to either your work or somebody else you're related to, something you're known for. But with Silver Donald, he had the salt and pepper hair. And Tom said, you should call yourself Silver. And it stuck.
No kidding.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Can I tell you another story?
Sure.
I hesitate in suggesting to a songwriter, musician, that they should do a song. So if you can picture the huge theater in Toronto, which used to be called the O'Keefe Center, mm-hmm. I'm standing before a week's sold-out show with a fellow who's going to do that show, leaning against the painted cement wall of the hallway going to the dressing rooms. They've done their sound check. They're ready. And his sister was finishing getting dressed for the show. And I said to him, you should, both of you, record a song. And he's a brilliant guy. His eyes are moving back and forth. And he's probably thinking to himself, oh, not another request. And I said, you should do a song because it was done by the guy who wrote it, and it just was totally wrong. Wrong voice, wrong tempo. Then Petula Clark did a demo, got a little bit of airplay. It was better, but still not done the way that you and your sister could do it. Now he's zeroing in on me. He's looking like a laser. And I said, it was written by Neil Sedaka, who put the worst version of it. And I said to him, so forgive me, but may I suggest that you and Karen record Solitaire? Mm-hmm. He looked at me and said, our boss is Herb Alpert, who owns A&M Records. He doesn't even know this. You're the only person in the world now who knows that we just finished recording it. We haven't edited it down or mastered it in our parents' home in a studio that we have. And I have to work on it some more. But he said, out of a billion songs in the universe, you would choose that one. We just got off the plane from Los Angeles, and only the three of us know that we recorded it. He said, you should do A&R work. And this was that song. Turned out to be one of her favorites.
Serendipity, man.
There was a man alone. hesitate.
Richard told me later that of her two favorite songs, I Can Dream, Can't I, and Solitaire, were Karen Carpenter's two favorite songs that she recorded.
Beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful job.
And what a voice she had. Lenny Gallant is probably the only person I've met who can catch a fish without a line, without a net. And you were handling a boat late at night by yourself.
Yeah, you heard my story the other night about how when I was doing an ocean passage with Tom Gallant, my first time ever sailing, period. And here we were taking a sailboat from Mahone Bay, Nova Scotia to Bermuda, 7-day trip in November. Crazy weather.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty wild and woolly trip. But then from Bermuda down to the Caribbean, it was just gorgeous. It was beautiful weather. And we were passing through that part of the world known as the infamous Triangle late at night, rather eerie setting. It had been raining in the day a little bit, and so I was wearing just a pair of shorts and a very loose raincoat and didn't get much sleep. I was doing a 3-hour shift late mm-hmm. at night, and all of a sudden I felt this cold, clammy, scaly thing reach right down the back of my neck inside the raincoat and start moving all around really quickly. And I am half asleep at the helm. And I, you know, tales of Leonard Nimoy, you know, giant sea monsters reaching over the side of a boat were going through my mind really quickly. I didn't know what it was. And I was like, oh, my God, what the heck? You know, and I was able to get hold of this thing.
It's live and wiggling.
It's live and moving all around inside the back of my neck, inside the raincoat. I grabbed it, slammed it into the cockpit floor. My heart, you could see my heart pounding. It was because I had no idea, and it woke me up really gave me a start. Tom, I woke Tom up. He was down below. He came up. What? I was pointing to this. Turned out it was a flying fish that had made a perfect arc through the air. I thought of it after. It might have been that he hit the sail and bounced off the sail, but he went sliding right down the back inside of my raincoat. And I couldn't believe it.
You have a wicked summer coming up, and you have written an amazing show, you really have, with your music and your dialogue. And I wrote to Wendy and to Lynn and said, I don't know anybody who could do a show with a bit of history and legend and comedy and stories, tales, and not have it dry, except Lenny Gallant. It was so modern. The artwork behind you, so cutting edge and so brilliantly put together that I was spellbound. And I kicked myself for not going back and seeing it a second time. So I'm going to try to catch it this summer again. But you're moving it to the PEI Brewing Company?
PEI Brewing Company, yeah.
And you're taking it to a different level because you've added somebody, Patricia?
Patricia Richard is going to be in it. And she is just an amazing performer. I've always... When she's on the stage, she lights up the stage. She fabulous voice and multi-instrumentalist, and very much looking forward to having her. She's extremely well known in the Acadian world. Mm-hmm. She's been part of several different groups in that world, and people on the island certainly know her very well. And also in the band, of course, I have two nephews that aren't in Ten Strings and a Goldskin. These are two different nephews, Jeremy Gallant, incredible keyboard player mm-hmm. and percussionist, and Jonathan Gallant, fabulous singer, multi-instrumentalist. And of course, my longtime musical cohort Sean Kemp on violin, who has a sound all of his own, as you know.
Wicked.
Wicked sound. It's a great band. I'm so looking forward to doing the show again with these guys.
In July and August, first days of the week, right?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays in July and August. We wanted to do the early in the week so that we can also do some festivals and things, you know, as well.
And my advice is you better get your tickets early or you're going to lose out, because that's the way it was last year.
Last year, we ended up doing the show mostly for Islanders, because if you didn't get your tickets early, the shows were sold out. And so a lot of tourists wanted to come but found that... The tickets weren't available.
Is that in or near Charlottetown?
It's in Charlottetown, just not right downtown Charlottetown, but it's actually a great spot because it's out on Kensington Road, out near the exhibition grounds. Lots of parking there.
Now, you have on your latest album a song that quite moved me when I heard it the first time, and you wrote this with John Wiggins. It's called God's Reply. It's a love song, But it also reminded me of a question I asked you about being religious, but I think you said that you're probably more spiritual.
Well, you know, I try to be a little bit spiritual. I certainly wouldn't call myself religious, no.
Where did the song come from?
I think it came from, there was some kind of a thing on the side of a bus down in New York. Somebody had written something about the fact that, you know, God is dead, so get on with your life or something like that. But I don't know. John and I were talking about it a little bit. And I had already started writing the song before I went down to Nashville. And I was telling him I had this song based on this idea. And we ended up finishing it together. But I think it may have came out of, hearing about that story. You're hearing more and more of that on the news these days, people saying, well, you know, the idea of God is such an anachronism. But I think maybe people just aren't really necessarily looking in the right place sometimes.
I think we're missing something. This particular song, by the way, if I can interject, makes me want to say to an up-and-coming songwriter, study the work of Lenny Gallant, because not only can he point the way, but this fellow has not only the Order of Canada and awards left, right, and center when it comes to nominations and awards, whether Junos or East Coast Music Awards. But this shows your versatility. You can write a love song, you can write a song about life, about what's going on, about industries like fishery that we're losing. And yet you always can take a step back and write about some of the most important things in life. And this is called God's Reply.
Every night a million prayers put on their wings, hope they reach the place where God is listening. There's broken hearts and troubled souls and worried minds, all looking for an answer or some kind of sign. You say you feel like giving up because there's no word, but that don't mean your every prayer has not been heard. It don't have to be a rainbow stretched across the sky. It might be one note in a song that made you cry. It don't have to be a white dove on your windowsill. Might be a breath of air, a drop of rain, a sudden chill, or the love I feel when I look deep into your eyes. Maybe that's God's reply. Turn a page in your life story, write this down. Every little thing that's happened up till now brought us to this very moment where we stand. The mystery of how you came to take my, every prayer we made when we were all alone was somehow answered in a language of its own. It don't have to be a rainbow stretched across the sky. It might be one note in a song that made you cry. It don't have to be a white dove on your windowsill. Breath of air, a drop of rain, a sudden chill, or the love I feel when I look deep into your eyes. Maybe that's God's reply. The sky. It might be one note that made you cry. It don't have to be a white dove on your windowsill. Might be a breath of air, a drop of rain, a sudden chill, or the love we feel when we look in each other's eyes. Maybe that's God's reply. Thank you.
Every night a million prayers put on their wings and hope they reach the place where God is listening.
Other people have written better accolades about his work, but I have to say that he stands up as one of the most prolific and able composers in the 21st century of Canada. Whether you're talking about pop music, country music, roots, Celtic, Acadian, this guy can do it like no one else. His name is Lenny Gallant.
Thank you. God, I was waiting to hear who you're going to talk about.
Thank you again a third time for stopping by.
Thank you very much, Paul. You're very kind.
Sorry, we didn't write that check for Stump the Chump, but...
Damn, I'm going to give you some ideas next time for Stump the Chump. Just regular, sort of general ballpark.
I see. All right. Folks, I've been told. Like to say this week, thank you to Lenny Gallant for stopping by. I know your schedule is like a shoehorn to get down here. This week's wardrobe mistress, choir director, and movie scorer, David Findlay of Otitis Media. Lenny, if I don't get that in, he lets me know about it afterwards.
Right.
Otitis Media in Lunenburg. And to all our listeners, catch any one of these shows on our website, bluenoseoperahouse.ca, on the World Wide Web, or any of the stations that carry us, heard throughout Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island. Also on internet radio, thanks to the fabulous East Coast Kitchen Party, heard round the planet Earth. We'd love to hear from you, and we say thanks for stopping by. I'm Paul Kellogg. Good day and good night to all our ships at sea. Be home soon.